the flowered shirt is Carrie Cook. She is the daughter of Jerry Cook. And is here by the grace of, by the grace of herself. behind her is Jerry Ainscough, Carrie's husband and hardworking park person. And over here is Helene Irving, mountaineer, kayaker, and bon vivant. Can you hear people if I keep this music on? Okay. Oh, that's going to be tough. You ready for a few?
There's a volume tab near the top. One of those keys near the top. One of those, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's.
Yeah.
That's.
So you need to introduce Tom.
Oh, Tom. I just think of you as always being here. So, among other things, Tom works here. He's a longtime mountaineer and outdoorsman. And what else can I say? All right.
Kayaker.
And neighbor. That's us. Take it away, Jerry.
Okay. I'm going to talk this evening about lookouts themselves, as I was a lookout for 3 years. And I actually, I'm really not clear on this, but I think I might be the only person that was at all three lookouts to work that week. I'm not sure about that. I don't know of anybody else that was. So it was quite a treat. And all of them were special in their own way. And so I'm just going to give you a little bit of history about lookouts before I go into the North Cascades. And so this is what most people think of when they think of a lookout. And the first lookout ever made in the country was in the late 1800s. And it was put in at Donner Pass by the railroad to watch for fires that the trains might make when they run through. And then in 1906, the Forest Service was created. And in 1910, this huge, the whole country burned. And they called it the big blow up. And so there were 1,700 fires in 1910. And in the middle of August, this huge, it got really dry, really dry, really dry. And this huge storm, the windstorm came through Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. Right on those alone, 3 million acres of forest burned. But in that same time, in the whole country, 5 million acres of forest burned. And they say that smoke went all the way across the country, and actually ash was still falling in Greenland. So it was huge. And maybe that's what caught the attention of Congress, because they actually back then agreed on something, and they passed a bill to fund lookouts. So that was kind of the impetus to get lookouts going. And you know, there's a lot of private land in those 5 million acres too. So there was all kinds of people that wanted something to do about it. And so they started making lookouts, and this is what people think usually, big towers. And there was lookouts on every state of, not yet.
Okay.
You have to start over.
Back. Or hit the back key.
Back.
Hit the
And so there were
technology by the agent.
There were lookouts in every state but one. So who can guess what state did not have a lookout?
Florida.
Florida had hundreds. Oh, my surprise. Kansas. Where are they? So only one state did not have a lookout. And at the peak of the lookout, there were 8,000 lookouts over the country. Wow. California had 600 and some. I think Idaho had almost 900.
Wow.
So. Quite a history. You know, it was the CCCs that got that whole thing going. That's when it really moved. So a ton of lookouts were built in the 30s. And they came up with this design. They actually thought about it. And they were going, well, we putting something on top of a mountain. We want to protect the people in it, and we want to give them enough room that they don't go nuts. And they kind of thought about it and thought about it, and they kind of came up with this 14 feet. So a lot of them are 14 by 14. The first ones were a little bit smaller, and the really first ones were kind of weird. But once they kind of got settled in the 20s, they had these designs, and they're 14 by 14. And again, this is what most people think of. And I would say a huge percentage are this kind of towers, and that's so a lot of these people think lookout towers. Well, you know, North Cascades is a little different than that, and there's a few other places in the country, but we do not have towers. So why don't we have towers? We're above the tree line here, so we're one of the few places that our mountains are so tall that they're above the tree line, so we do not have to have towers. So they're kind of a different lookout, they're a different feel to them. So we'll go to the next one. But here's just a couple examples of lookouts that were created around here. This is Easy Peak, in the Mount Baker. Pretty small, I don't think that's 14 feet.
Does that apply Easy Pass?
No, I think it's in the Chilliwack, and Easy Ridge. That lookout, I've been over it in a helicopter, and it's just collapsed by itself. It's just gray wood laying there in a pile. This is the first tower to look at. That was built in 1917 by Lee Davis.
Cool.
Hiked up here, and I read that all that wood was packed up as raw wood, and they actually carpentered and built it right there on the spot. It's pretty cool. Look at that top there. They have to climb up in like a ladder in there and just go up and then go back down. And this is quite a rock. You're going to see a lot of that rock in the next bit of time. And I just had to throw this in because it's just so bizarre. That's Three Fingers Lookout in the Fairfield District. That, I think I would be afraid to even go there. And I don't think, you know, if you sleepwalk, you don't want to go to that place. I think this, I'm just stunned by it. And so,
Jerry, we have a, remember Tom?
Yeah, I know.
He's worked for the park now. He wants to visit all the lookouts. He was up there the last couple weeks.
He told me that.
So it's still standing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He told me that the road is closed and he had a bicycle 14 miles and then
Wow. And, you know, on some of the other shots, you can see a ladder system that leads
right
up.
Right in that crevice of rocks there, they had ladders.
Pretty
kind of like a front load.
Oh, yeah.
People would be up these things all summer, so they need supplies all summer. How would they get supplies?
You ever heard of that? Chop wood, carry water?
Yeah.
I don't know. I puzzled about that one, too. I just don't even know what to think. That is beyond...
Plus one weight.
Where's the nearest water? Where's the nearest wood?
Yeah.
And where's the nearest helipad?
Now, I want to go to the North Cascades lookout. And so here we are. This is a typical 14 by 14, built on the ground, above tree level. And again, I want to take another perspective too on these lookouts because I myself was one, and I know the people that came here, they, you know, I look at the manuals and they go, 20 minutes every hour you're supposed to stand for fires. Well, that's all. did we stand 20 minutes in the summer?
I read 50 books that summer.
And, you know, basically, they start naturally. Well, nowadays that's okay. And then if they aren't natural, they're in these corridors where you know where they are. There's just this corridor, this corridor, this corridor. You can look at those pretty easily. People aren't in those other places very much. But so I just want to think about this, the idea of being in that lookout in a different kind of mindset. And so in 53, Gary Snyder came to the Cascades and he brought these following in the next few years. And those guys, I mean, think about it. Everywhere in the world, in history, tops of mountains have always been an attraction. And they've been a spiritual place. And so, for me, it's really easy to think of this as like a Buddhist temple, almost. Mm-hmm. And I kind of felt that way as a lookout. And so, there's more to be gained than looking for fires and being on that government payroll. Being on a lookout changed my life. And it solidified my connection to this place. And I grew up in Marble Mountain, so like I was already grounded here, but being on those lookouts and just spending three, and I never came out. I went in June and I came out in September. And I just did not come out. I was actually afraid to come out. I thought, I just wanted to keep that mindset going. So I didn't trust myself to come out. I didn't know if I'd go back. So,
oops.
Not yet. So I was just going to show the lookouts and then show the icons that are related to those lookouts. So
which lookout is this?
This is Desolation. This is where we're going tomorrow. That's Ozamine Peak right there.
Oh, wow.
Right behind that peak is Canada. Mm-hmm. And the icon, the Desolation, of course, is Jack. He's looking good there. He's mm-hmm. looking healthy, handsome, strong, his early days. And the next lookout we're going to see is Sourdough. And you can see that big rock. This is a big rock. When I was a lookout there, this is the front. They flew me up in a helicopter. This is 1971. It was a big snow year. The helicopter landed about 20 feet higher than that roof on snow to this side. So we get out of the helicopter. I got to go down. The snow was melted around the building, but it was higher than 20 feet higher than that building, and I came across at an angle. So this side I could see out, east and west I could kind of see, and north I could not see a thing. In fact, I never saw Ross Lake until about mid-August that year, before the snow melted down that far. So I'm there as a lookout, and I'm going, it's not my responsibility, it's not my fault.
When was it? Was that 73?
Pardon?
73?
When?
71.
71.
And 70 was a really bright fire year. 71, just the opposite. So the icons, Gary Snyder, he was there in 1953. And Philip Whalen, he was there in 1954, 1955. So Gary Snyder coming in 53 kind of spread the word to his fellow poets that, and he, on purpose, I read where he looked at maps. He saw this district, this Marble Mountain District, Marble Mountain Ranger Station, and he wrote him a letter, said he wanted, and he said, this is as far away as I can get. And he wrote this letter, and he says, here's what he said in his letter: I want the highest, most remote, and most difficult of access lookouts. And that was, that's when he went to Crater. Mm-hmm. So that was in 52. Mm-hmm. And this famous forester, Blackie Burns, with this, he's quite a cusser and quite a grounded, down-to-earth guy. But he just thought this is the funniest thing that he did. He said, you don't know what you're getting into, son. And in fact, he didn't know what he was getting into. He was stunned himself what he got into, but he also really loved it. And I think that his bringing those guys here, I guess I have felt. So I grew up in Marble Mountain, and so I lived there when these guys were lookouts. I was a little kid, and I lived right in town, Marble Mountain town, but I know that they had to walk from the ranger station by my house to get bottles of wine or beer or whatever, so I can almost envision that happening. And believe me, Marble Mountain, well, here's a saying we would have: it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from here. Yep, and that's what it was like. I mean, nobody came up this road. We had one day a month, the state patrol. On Thursday, the third Thursday of the month, the state patrolmen drove up. As a high school kid, there was no rules. You know, we could do anything we want, drive as fast as we want or not, and there was a policeman in Concrete, that was a town policeman. He never left Concrete. So up the valley from there, it was kind of an old barn, kind of west of the Pecos, you know. So Gary Snyder was seeking something like this. They came here, and then they followed suit. He was a mountain climber and a mountain person, and Kerouac was far from that, and Whalen wasn't that either, but they wanted that solitude and that, but you know, they kept doing another thing. But as a lookout, even in the 70s, maybe getting probably less than $3 an hour, but I never came out, I never spent one penny in the summer. I'd come off the lookout, you know, put those paychecks right here. No, how about here? But it was enough money to pay for college. And that's just stunning when you think about it today. That's one of the weird things about America right now, not funding education. And I didn't understand it then, and I understand it now. That most of that money came from the state itself. You know, the state colleges were funded by taxes in the state, and they just lost ground. And now you could be a surgeon and you could make enough money in the summer to pay for college. Mm-hmm. So that's a sad statement, and I don't know what to think about it, but we need to change that. So the next lookout, we're going to see the icon and the lookout all in one picture. Fargo St. James.
Oh, great.
This is Copper Lookout. So if you can, especially you guys, you can blot out Margo, but it stands out in that picture to you.
There's a lot of snow.
Well, look at Margo. Look at all that snow in those mountains.
Yeah.
This has got to be at least July. Can't be before July. That lookout wouldn't even be, nobody would even be there before the very end of June. That year I was there, it was 72. There's another big snow year. I didn't even get to go up there until right after the 4th of July. And so, look at that. I mean, yeah, every grade, it's just snow. And this lookout, it's just stunning there. I mean, you're looking at this whole view over here is the Picket Range, Mount Baker right over there, all into Canada. It's a beautiful place. I mean, it's an incredibly powerful place. A little bit of a different lookout. It's got a gable end on it. Not too many of them have that. So,
is that still man?
Yes, this is, here's another thing. Like, Desolation definitely is a lookout where it's got the most fire activity historically around it, so it really does serve that purpose. It's manned to this day. I think we'll see the lookout when we go up. I feel like, you know, it does serve a little purpose for fire, but it's also living history, and the park can fund that, so they do. This one, there's hardly ever been a fire reported here. This is a wet site. This is before those clouds get over those pickets and give us that rain shadow we're going to be in tomorrow. And so you can see how much snow is even down low and how wet it is. Rarely is there a fire in that area. So it really does not have that function, but they made it a backcountry ranger post. So it does serve that function. And Sourdough, it's also seen a lot of things that could happen in it. Thunder can have a lot of activity. But another issue is when I was a lookout, I think I was at the end of an era, and a new era started afterwards, because one of my main responsibilities was to be a communicator and be a repeater. There were no repeaters in, so the lookouts, I had to stay there. I could not wander off. My radio, pretty big, probably weighed 20-some pounds, just a ton of E-cell batteries in it. So I had to stay there because anybody in that area there would have to call Desolation. I would have to call Sourdough. Sourdough would call Marmalade. And if you were at Hosmean, you'd call Desolation, Sourdough, Marmalade. Yeah, you know how messages can get messed up when you get that many people involved. So all the lookouts were repeaters. I'm not sure when they really got them, but I think it was in the later 70s when they got repeaters in it. And then it took a few years to get that worked out.
Yeah. So there's a lookout in Hosmean?
No. Just the campground area. Mm-hmm. So those workers. So, you know, we're concerned, and that's another thing, early on, I don't think, crews went out, they came back. There's no way to communicate, and don't be worried about it. As things gone on, all of a sudden safety, bigger issues. So, like, say, when I was a lookout then, the backcountry rangers would check in with me in the morning, and they check in the evening. And if they didn't check in, then we're trying to figure out why aren't they, and maybe somebody would go looking for them. So, you know, they said, as time goes on, you take more and more about those issues. So lookouts were built, a lot of them in the 30s, they were even building some in the 40s, but it was losing its momentum. But then World War II came along. And I want to show you some pictures of, so again, think of these lookouts. They built these buildings on top of the mountain, but they're only lived in for 3 months, and that building has to sit there 9 more months.